Good morning. It's wonderful to be here this morning with all of you mothers. And I do want to wish you myself a happy Mother's Day, time of celebration of mothers and motherhood. I want to share a quotation with you by Mary Kay Blakely. She's a journalist, an essayist, an author, and a mother. She wrote a book called American Mom. I have not read it, but this came from the prologue. Said, mothers are likely to have more bad days on the job than most other professionals, considering the hours. Round the clock, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. You go to work when you're sick, maybe even clinically depressed. Because motherhood is perhaps the only unpaid position where failure to show up can result in arrest. So think about that. If you don't go to work tomorrow, you probably won't get arrested. Now, when we think about Mother's Day, it's a time of celebration, but I think that it also can be and often is a somewhat bittersweet time for some moms, maybe for a lot of moms. You know, it's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. We've had a great time. You look wonderful. But I'm not going to apologize this morning for bringing somewhat of a somber message, I guess I might say. I hope it'll be a message of encouragement. I hope it will encourage all of us, but particularly I'm going to be talking to mothers this morning. And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 7, and I'll ask you to turn there in your Bible. Luke chapter 7, if you've been with us recently on Sunday mornings when I have spoken, we've been seeking to go through the book of Luke. And we've worked our way through the first six chapters, and interestingly enough, we are at chapter 7 this morning. And I'm going to, for the time being, skip over the first 10 verses. We'll come back to them later. But I feel that the Lord has led me to verses 11 through 17 as we think this morning about Mother's Day. We're going to be looking at a mother in the town of Nain. You can see here on the screen before you where Nain is located. In Israel, you see the Sea of Galilee and the region of Galilee there in the north part. And right at the south of that, the south end of Nain, near Mount Tabor, is the town of Nain. The name of this town means pleasant or beauty. But there was an unnamed mother that we're going to read about this morning. And though she lived in a town called Beauty, town called Pleasant, she was a woman acquainted with grief. I'm going to ask you to follow along as I read in Luke 7, beginning at verse 11, about this mother. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and the surrounding region. Here is an artist's rendition of something that it may have looked like as they left the city of Nain that day. Back in that day there in Galilee, they would use an open coffin, as you see here, carried by possibly some of the friends or others there in the town. At the front of the picture, you see the mother. And in Galilee, that was the tradition, that the one who brought that person into the world, if she was still living, she would lead that procession. Obviously a sad time, many following along behind. It must have been that this young man, or whatever his age was, this man, he was a young man for sure, we read in the scripture. We don't know how young, but he and his mother must have been well thought of or appreciated. And there was a great crowd, Luke tells us, as this widow already had lost her husband, and now she's been bereaved of her only son. He was the only son of his mother. And this grieving mother in Nain long ago in the first century, I think, is more representative of most mothers than it may appear at first glance. And this morning, even as we celebrate mothers and as mothers celebrate their special day, there are many mothers here and everywhere who may be, along with that celebration, experiencing some measure of the conscious or subconscious ache or piercing grief from the death of a child. There are mothers here this morning who are grieving over a child's physical death. And that may have occurred in a number of ways. There are many mothers here this morning who at some time in their lives have experienced a miscarriage. And that was a real baby. And I think that a mother understands that in a way that those who aren't mothers and those of us who are male cannot enter into, that within their own body there was a child. And that child has died. There may be some here this morning, as there are many in the world today, who are grieving even as they think back to an abortion that they had. Maybe of their own choice or someone else's, and even on Mother's Day it may come back to their mind about that little life that was taken from their body. And there's grief there. I know that there are ones in this audience this morning who have lost a newborn baby, an infant, maybe even a toddler. And you know what it is to grieve over the death of a child. Others here may have lost a pre-adolescent or teen child, and some maybe even have lost a child to death when they were an adult. And with that physical death and separation, there comes grief for mothers. There are also those here this morning, I am sure, who are grieving as mothers because of a relational death. There's a broken relationship possibly between you and one or more of your children. I think of that one that we'll read about when we get to Luke 15, that prodigal son, and much is said about his father, but his mother is never mentioned. But you know, that relationship was broken with her too. And I'm sure that she grieved over that. And if you're in that situation this morning, you know what it is to grieve over a relational death. And then there are mothers here this morning that are grieving over a child's spiritual death. There are those here this morning who have children or a child who are unsaved. And in Ephesians 2:1, we read that all of us came into this world dead in trespasses and sins. And if you're here, if you're a mom here this morning who has a child who has never trusted the Lord Jesus, who is still dead in his or her trespasses or sins and sins, then you know what it is to grieve over that child. Because you know that as Revelation 20 and verse 14 tells us, they are on their way to what the Scripture describes as the second death, when death and Hades will be cast into the lake of fire. There are others who are grieving this morning because though their children have professed salvation in the Lord Jesus, they are not walking with the Lord. They have professed to trust Christ as Savior, but they are, in the words of Scripture, sowing to the flesh, living as if they were spiritually dead. Interestingly enough, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, it's a widow who is described by Paul, one who may be living in pleasure in her widowhood and living for the world and living for the flesh. And he said that she is dead while she lives. And there may be, and likely are there, those this morning who are grieving over a child who is carnally minded. And Romans 8 verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death. And these are difficult griefs for anyone. But there may be a particularly difficult grief for a mother. But this morning I'm here not with a message of gloom and doom. But I'm here with a message of hope. Because the Lord Jesus offers hope. He offers that confidence that it can and will be better. And this morning we want to consider the narrative of this mother from Nain. And we're going to observe four hopes for the grieving mother. And can I say that these are four hopes not only for the grieving mother, but for anyone and everyone. The first hope is that of intersection. We think of an intersection where two roads meet and vehicles coming from different directions on those roads meet. And that's what happened this day that we're reading about in Nain. There was an intersection of lives. You see, coming from one direction within the city, there was a caravan, a large group of people being led by a grieving mother and her physically dead son. And as they worked their way out of the city to the cemetery, they intersected with another large group. This group couldn't have been any different because the center of this large group was not a dead man, but rather the Lord of life. The Lord Jesus was surrounded by His disciples. But not only His disciples, a large group of people, some believers and some unbelievers, but some at least interested, but they were all working their way, and there was an intersection of the Lord of life with a procession of death. And moms, this morning, your child may be already buried. And your child may be on the way to the cemetery relationally or spiritually. But you know what? When you least expect it, when all seems lost, when all seems hopeless, there is the hope of intersection. You know, there's the sense in which the Lord is always intersecting every life. Because creation declares the glory of God. But you know what? I think there are also, and I know there are also those ways in which the Lord chooses a specific time and a place in which He's going to intersect the life of a particular individual. And you know, that's in the time and manner of His choosing, and we must accept that. That God may use His Word. He may use an unexpected person. He may select an event, a question that is presented to your child, if your child is still alive. It may be a still, small voice. It may be a tragic situation that grabs hold of your child and makes your child, your son, your daughter, understand that intersection that they are having at that moment with their Creator. And whenever the Lord Jesus intersects a life, He brings us to a point of decision. You think about when He intersected the life of Adam in the garden. And He brought Adam to a point of decision, just like He did Abraham. And just as He did with Moses and Ruth and David and Peter and Saul and so many others in the Scriptures, as He intersected their lives, they were brought to a point of decision, as you and I have been and are being and will be. And in that, there is hope for a grieving mother. There is that hope that the Lord of life will intersect your life with hope. There is that hope that the Lord of life will intersect the life of your child whose relationship with you is broken, who has no relationship with God, or who is walking far from Him. And you know what? That moment may be today. It may be this morning, that hope of intersection. But we also find in our passage this morning, not only that hope of intersection that we read about there in verses 11 and 12 as the Lord Jesus came near the gate and the dead man was being brought out, but we also find the hope of interaction. in verse 13. You see, that morning, or that day, whatever time of day it was, the Lord Jesus interacted with that mother in Nain. Something I find very interesting in this portion that we read there, and you can see again in verse 13, is that the mother in Nain doesn't say anything. She's not asking the Lord for anything. She's not communicating with Him verbally in any way. And I wondered about that. So often we see people coming to the Lord Jesus and asking Him for something. Here, she doesn't say anything. And I don't know why that is, but I wonder if it could be that maybe she had cried out to God in her grief until her throat was too sore to speak. That she had cried so many tears that they were all dried up. That she had hurt so badly within her from losing her husband and now her only son that she had no strength left for interaction. Those who know the Lord Jesus, we are so blessed to have the truth of Romans 8:26 that the Spirit of God also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Can I encourage you this morning? Look again at verse 13. When the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Notice three things there and apply them to yourself, mothers. First of all, the Lord sees you. There was another mother, her story is recorded in the book of Genesis. And in chapter 16 and verse 13, this mother Hagar, who had been kicked out of her home with her child, calls the name of the Lord who intersected her life and her child's life. And she said, "You are the God who sees. You're the God who sees." You see, He saw her out there in a desert with her child under a plant waiting to die. And the Lord saw her. And the Lord sees you. Because the ways of all are before the eyes of the Lord, and He ponders all our paths. Proverbs 5:21. And I want you to know, moms, that the Lord Jesus, His seeing is a seeing of knowledge. He sees your grief, but He also knows your grief. In Psalm 139, David spoke those wondrous words of the Lord searching and knowing Him. No matter where he was, the Lord saw him. And the Lord sees you. And the Lord sees your pain with eyes that are unlimited. And I might look at you, and others even close to you might look at you and have no idea of the suffering in your soul. But the Lord Jesus knows. He knows. He knows your ache. He sees your grief, your hopelessness. But not only did the Lord Jesus see that woman, and not only does He see you, the Lord Jesus had compassion on her. And the Lord Jesus has compassion on you. In John 11 and verse 33, we read about Mary, and her brother had died, Lazarus. And we read that when the Lord Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, He groaned. He was deeply moved in the spirit and was troubled. The psalmist in Psalm 86:15 declared of the Lord, "But You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion." You see, the Lord Jesus who saw her that day is the same one who Matthew writes in chapter 9 and verse 36 of his gospel that when the Lord Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them. You see, He cares for you. He understands your grief. Because Isaiah 53:3 tells us that He Himself came to this earth as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that as He intercedes for us at the right hand of His Father, He is able to sympathize with our weaknesses.
He understands.
You see, the Lord Jesus interacted with this woman. He saw her. He had compassion on her. And then He spoke to her. And the Lord Jesus speaks to you. He speaks to you in His Word as His Holy Spirit illuminates it to you in the moment of your need. How important it is to be in the Word of God. Because He will use that to speak to your heart. Maybe you have a child who has physically died. If that child died before the age of being able to understand the gospel, if that child was still in the womb when he or she died, or was an infant or a toddler or a young child, then you can say, as David said, when his young son died, I can't bring him back again. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Maybe you had a believing child who died. We can think of Paul's words in Philippians 1, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Because to be with Christ is far better, and your child is with the Lord Jesus. And we have those words of hope in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren or sisters, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope." And that's really the bottom line of our message today. There is grief in death. But it doesn't have to be a grief with no hope, because our hope is in the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And she said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And that resurrection is coming. A physical resurrection. But maybe you're here this morning and you have an unbelieving child who died. You know, I don't have a whole lot I can say of comfort to you, except that Revelation 21:4 says that God is going to wipe away every tear. And He will wipe away those tears from your eye someday. Maybe you're here this morning and, Mom, you have a child who's spiritually dead. Can I tell you that the Lord is speaking to you this morning? And here's His heart. We mentioned both of these verses last week as we thought about evangelism. 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish," not your child, "but that all," including your child, "should come to repentance." 1 Timothy 2:4, "God desires all human beings to be saved." That's His heart. That's His word to you, Mom, if your child doesn't know Him yet. Maybe you have a child who is relationally dead, and you've just about given up all hopes that that relationship will ever have life again. The Lord speaks to you today. And He says, "Pray to me," Ephesians 3:20, "to Him who was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." And Luke 18:27, the Lord Jesus Himself said these words, and He says them to you, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Interaction. What a wonderful, wonderful hope. But there's a third hope I'd like to share with us this morning from verses 14 and 15, and that's the hope of intervention. Now, this is for those whose children are still alive physically, but maybe spiritually or relationally dead. The hope of intervention. You know, we're thankful when there are individuals or teams of individuals together who go and they seek to intervene in the life of someone who's caught up in destructive behavior. And you know what? That's the very heart of God. The heart of the Lord Jesus, that He wants to intersect the life of your child and intervene in your child's life. I want you to notice several things that the Lord can do from this passage. First of all, He can touch your child's circumstances. We read there in verse 14 that He came and touched the open coffin. Now that's something that normally would not be done in Jewish culture, because the person who touched that coffin on which the dead man lied would become unclean ceremonially. But you see, the one who touched that coffin is the Holy One, who could not become defiled, who could not be unclean. And the circumstance of that mother in Nain, her only son, his circumstance was an open coffin. That was his context. And the Lord Jesus touched that coffin. And you can be sure that wherever your child is, whatever he or she is involved in, the Lord Jesus can touch that circumstance. He will not be defiled. The Lord Jesus can reach out His hand, and His touch is powerful. Psalm 144, verse 5, the psalmist prays, "Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke." The Lord can do that with a touch in the circumstance to get the attention of your child. In the book of Luke, we see Him touching eyes and hands and tongues and ears. And He can touch the circumstances of your child's life. He can also halt your child's procession of death and hopelessness. Again, there in verse 14. He came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried the coffin stood still. It all stopped when He touched the coffin. You see, the Lord Jesus, who touched that coffin and stopped that procession of death and hopelessness, is the same one who made the sun and the moon stand still for Joshua and the army of Israel. He's the same one that caused Peter's chains to fall off while he was in prison. He's the same one who caused hailstones to fall down on the enemies of Israel during warfare. And He can halt your child's procession of death and hopelessness. And He can speak to your child. He can speak to your child. You see, His Word, Hebrews tells us, is alive. And it's active, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Never underestimate the power of the Word of God. Ephesians 5:14. The Lord can speak these very words through Scripture to your child. Therefore, He says, "Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life." The hope of intervention. He can give life to your child. He is the Lord of life. But there is a response required. You see, the Lord Jesus said to that child, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Now that young man now had the opportunity to respond to the command of the Lord Jesus. He could have laid there and said, "Hey, I'm comfortable as I am. I don't want to sit up." But he responded in faith. He sat up, but he didn't have to. Compare another young man. We refer to him in Scripture as the rich young ruler. And in Mark chapter 10, we read that Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack." Now here's the command. "Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. The Lord Jesus speaks, and His Word is powerful. We've got to pray for our children. Lord, continue to strive with them that they might respond in faith. And this young man in Nain sat up and spoke. Don't you wonder what he said? I wonder what he said. But he sat up and he spoke. John 5:21, the Lord Jesus says, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." And who is it that he wills to give life? The last book of the Bible tells us. The last chapter of the last book of the Bible tells us. "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." And finally, he can give your child back to you. Beautiful words at the end of verse 15. "And he presented him to his mother." Is that what your heart's longing for, Mom? Is that what your heart is longing for? For God to present that child back to you? If your child has physically died, look forward to that day. You sorrow, but not without hope. The day will come when the Lord Jesus, as it were, will present your child to you and bringing every believer together. If your child's relationship with you is broken, the Lord can speak to your child. If your child will respond in faith, he will present your child back to you. The same with the children who were spiritually dead, separated from God by sin. As all of us are born dead in trespasses and sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And He was buried. And He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and was seen. And if by faith we'll receive His Son, if we will believe on the Lord Jesus, a gift of grace, the one who died and rose again, then we can be forgiven of our sins and all things can become new, as was sung for us this morning. It can all be new. There's hope for a grieving mother. But I told you there was four hopes, and there's one more we're going to close with this morning. It's the hope of interruption in verses 16 and 17. You see, the Lord can interrupt your grief and turn it to joy. I love the words of Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12. And moms, if you're grieving this morning, I trust that God will interrupt your grief and turn it to joy, that you can say this to the Lord: "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." That you could say, like the father of the prodigal son, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry." I want you to be able to rejoice. That's what I want for you. That's what the Lord desires for you. He can interrupt your child's death and turn it to new life, no matter how dire the situation. I heard a testimony 2 days ago that I wish I had time to share with you, and I'll do it sometime. But this brother, it was unbelievable the circumstances in which he found himself and how he came to the Lord. And that could be repeated over and over again through this room and through the world. No matter what the direness of the circumstances are, the Lord can interrupt that. And here's something else he can do. He did it that day. He can interrupt the onlooker's perspective of God and turn it to glory to God. And that's what happened there. It wasn't only about a mother who was grieving and whose grief was turned to joy. It wasn't only about a young dead man who was raised to life. And those things were wonderful. And had they not happened, this one wouldn't have happened. But this happened too. Fear, reverence came upon all. And they glorified God. You see, they reverenced the person of God. And they realized the presence of God. God has visited His people. And the report spread. God wants to take the situation in your child's life, and He wants to do a miracle through that. He wants to use your child's testimony, even if that child died in the womb. He wants to use that testimony for His glory about how He turned your grief to joy and got you through that. And if there's a broken relationship, He desires to restore that, that might be a testimony to others. And if your child has not yet received the Lord Jesus, it's His desire that your child would come to Him in repentance and faith and be born again and have his or her sins forgiven and be brought, first of all, into a right relationship with God, that there might be that right relationship with you in his or her family. The hope of interruption. You see, it all comes down to this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the hope for grieving mothers and for everyone. Put your hope in Him. Mothers, this morning, can I exhort you to look for Him to intersect your life and the life of His child? Can I encourage you to watch for that intersection and pray that it might lead to His interaction with you, that you might find hope and encouragement? Can I challenge you to expect Him? Against hope, believing in hope, as Abraham did, to intervene in your child's life. And I ask you this morning to desire the Lord Jesus to interrupt every life for His own glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is the hope for grieving mothers and for everyone. If you're a mom and you're not grieving, thank God. I trust the day will never come. But if it does, you know where the hope is. And maybe there'll be another mother that will come into your life and God will use you to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ as the hope. And if you're here grieving this morning, I trust that the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and will bring hope to your heart. Hope in the Lord Jesus. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for our time together this morning, a time of celebrating our mothers and the mothers who are here. And Father, we thank You that You are a God who cares about us in real life, in real time. And Father, Your Word is filled with people who were hurting, real people who had real problems. And Father, You recorded their stories that we might find hope. And Lord, our hearts go out to this mother in Nain. She had already had her husband die, and now her only son had been taken from her. And Father, You've used this story to remind us in the 21st century that You still intersect with lives of the grieving and of those whose actions are causing the grief. And Father, whose deaths have resulted in grief. Father, You are still interacting. Even when we can't, as it were, say anything, You are still interacting. You're still intervening. Oh Lord, I ask You this morning to interact with the lives of the mothers here who are grieving. And Lord, I ask You to intervene in children's lives on behalf of these grieving mothers, Lord. And that You would interrupt lives, that Your name might be glorified, that Your name might be exalted, that others might hear about You and know about You and turn to You and be forgiven of their sins and find hope in the Lord Jesus and be changed into new creations, that You might heal broken relationships. Lord, we pray that You will show Your great power, that You will touch with Your hand. Father, we ask You to do this in Your mercy, and in Your grace, and Your love, and for Your glory, as we present all the mothers here to You, and thank You for them, and thank You for the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. May the Lord encourage you. Happy Mother's Day. The Lord bless you.